I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Noise level is deafening here at Arrowhead.
A leaping catch for a touchdown.
This will be a 45-yard attempt. Butker's kick is up. The spinning kick high, floating in the air, and it is good.
Many more, dog. Many more.
Windows my whole career. Our window's always open.
The window is my whole career. What a line that was. It's probably one of the best during the last NFL postseason. With that, welcome into NFL Live here in studio. Kimberly Martin, and you see Ryan Clark and Tim Hasselbeck. I am Field Yates. And when Joe Burrow talks, we often listen. And by the way, he's got a new look. The headband has debuted. He spoke today for the first time since the season ended last year. And the Bengals QB will certainly be looking for a big contract. He's eligible for one right now, which does beg the question of how much urgency there needs to be in Cincinnati to win this year. Here's Joe earlier today.
You know what it takes to get there. We've been there, done that, haven't quite gotten over that last hump yet. And so that's where we're headed. Whatever we got to do to make that happen, whether it's, you know, you never know what day in the offseason or what thing you worked on is going to end up helping your guys make that last play in that last game to get you over that hump. And so you got to stay disciplined and maintain your work ethic through the entire offseason because, you know, like I said, you never know what opportunity you're going to be put in to make that play.
RC, plenty of perspective there from Joe Burrow. They got a lot of good players, which means a lot of guys who have to get paid. How much urgency should there be right now in Cincinnati given all the potential moving pieces?
I think it's a ton of urgency to get Joe Burrow signed. We don't want to be in the position, and I don't expect them to be in the position that the Baltimore Ravens were with Lamar Jackson. Joe Burrow has shown that he can have a team in position to win a Super Bowl in the postseason. But now it's about structuring this contract that allows Joe Burrow to have the security that he's earned and that he deserves, and also gives you some maneuverability that allows you to sign guys like T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. Joe Burrow seems to understand that it's the skilled players around him that's allowed him to excel so early on in his career. Now, like you said on the call earlier today, it's not the job of the quarterback to take less money in order to allow guys to sign. And we used to always talk about this with Tom Brady, but I believe Joe Burrow sees his wide receiver, sees his skilled players in the way that they are one. He'll get his money, but I think he wants to make sure that he can keep some of that supporting cast around him and find ways to win going forward as well.
Yeah, you know, Ryan, I forgot about the comment Burrow made about his window being always open. His career is his window. And what's interesting about that is that I think that perspective of, hey, we don't need to just win while we've got our quarterback under a rookie contract. That's different. You know, a lot of people look at it and say, hey, like load up while you can, while your quarterback isn't making $40-50+ million a year. And I do think that because of that, there isn't a sense of urgency from a standpoint of, hey, you need to load up and win right now because once you're paying him, you can't win. Because I don't see that being the case. And look, maybe it is some type of deal that allows Joe Burrow to push out compensation, which allows T. Higgins to stay in the building and, you know, keep good players around him. Maybe he has that type of foresight. But ultimately, I think as long as he's their quarterback and they are not just delinquent around him, they're going to be just fine.
So, Kimberly, is it possible, though, that some of the urgency, if it does exist, could stem from the fact that as every year goes by, every team in the AFC that hasn't yet won a Super Bowl with their young quarterback is probably feeling more heightened pressure? The Chiefs have already won 2 with Patrick Mahomes. They've accomplished a lot. But Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, they haven't won a Super Bowl yet. Does that inherently increase the pressure every single year that you miss out on the Lombardi Trophy?
Well, in the AFC, we've talked about the murderer's row of quarterbacks, right? But here's what I know for certain. No other team wants to be Cleveland, and no other team wants to be Baltimore. No one wants to give out guaranteed contracts to the quarterback, and no team wants to have their star quarterback dangling out there and the uncertainty. What the Ravens just went through, Eric DaCosta, their GM, no other team wants to do that. So here's the thing. The Bengals are blessed with one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. You don't play around with that. And Joe Burrow, the guy that sat there and said, my career is the window, that is a guy you can win with. So forget about Josh Allen. Forget about Lamar Jackson for a second. The Bengals have the guy. So take care of him. Pay him and protect him. That's all Cincinnati has to do for the foreseeable future.
Okay. Yes, I that's true. I also think that it's just going to be the reality that one of these guys, maybe multiple of them, are not going to have a Lombardi ring. At Lombardi Trophy, and people are going to be saying, is it a failure? Has that team failed that quarterback? Does that quarterback need to go somewhere else? And that's the reality of the AFC. There are so many great quarterbacks. Let's stay in the AFC, where the Patriots, of course, loaded up on defense in the 2023 NFL Draft, as the team used each of its first three picks on defense. That included 17th overall selection, Christian Gonzalez, top-rated cornerback out of Oregon. Earlier today, veteran corner John Jones was asked by our Mike Reese about that top pick.
Your reaction when the draft comes and the team's first-round pick is a cornerback?
We need it. You know, we need help. We need all the help that we could get. We had a lot of, transition in that position over the last few years. We need it. We need a little bit of help.
All right, so Patriots owner Robert Kraft also seemed very pleased with their selections in the draft. He said this: at the end of the day, Jonathan and I were chatting, and I said, quote, this was a great, great draft. I'm really optimistic about the team. And he said, you say that every year, but I really believe it. We were able to get the top seven picks that we had identified before the draft. It comes in stark contrast to his quotes back in 2021 around the NFL draft. He said, quote, I don't feel like we've done the greatest job the last few years, and I really hope and believe I've seen a different approach this year. In the end, it all comes down to what happens on the field. You heard his voice just moments ago, and now you get to see him in person. Mike Reese is joining us now. Of course, Mike does an outstanding job covering the Patriots. And Mike, what's the feeling up there in New England, especially after the team went with back-to-back-to-back defensive players early in the draft and did not take a wide receiver or somebody else that might have more directly helped Mac Jones?
Well, Field, being down there today, speaking to some players, I would describe their mood as upbeat. The players said this is a time of year in the offseason where they're trying to build trust with each other and onboard those rookies that you mentioned into their program. And so, talking to people around the team with the way they viewed this draft, they said they went in with a goal, that they wanted to come out faster and tougher. There's an acknowledgement that they make, that they say, we play in a division now with Josh Allen, with Aaron Rodgers, with dynamic skill position players in Miami, that they need to build a team that can find a way to disrupt those opponents' field. And if they don't, they won't stand a chance. So they feel like they've put some pieces in place to give themselves a chance.
Mike, as always, great information with the Patriots. More from Mike Reese, of course, on NFL Live, probably soon, because the Patriots are always one of the teams that we are covering closely. Tim, I'll ask you this. Do you think the Patriots have done enough to put Mac Jones in a position to succeed after a downtrodden 2022?
Field, I think that they've definitely taken a step in the right direction. Have they done enough to improve? They have, but I think they're starting from such a bad spot. I really think that, the receivers that he has around him this year, obviously they had Juju Smith-Schuster. The fact that Bill O'Brien's back as the offensive coordinator, that to me is, building blocks to have a successful season for Mac Jones. The problem is that it was such a massive step back a year ago. Think of a year ago that, they don't have a great receiving core. They hire an offensive coordinator, have an offensive coordinator situation that no other team in the league would have entered the season with. And in fact, they end up at some point during the season benching Mac Jones for Bailey Zappi. I think they've done so much damage in the process that this really is just to get the compass back pointed the right direction for Mac Jones and that offense in New England.
Hey, man, let's be real. When you get rid of Matt Patricia as your play caller, you just automatically get better. Just straight up. you know, I get that we're trying to see how much better and that they're playing from a deficit. A lot of that deficit was their play caller. You mentioned, Tim, they went into last season with a play calling situation that no other NFL team in its right mind would do. And we tried to give Bill Belichick the benefit of the doubt in the offseason, saying he can't be stupid. So clearly he knew something that we didn't. Nope, we were wrong. He ain't know nothing, and neither did his play caller. So now when you add Bill O'Brien, you at least get competent at that position. You're talking about a guy that's had success as an offensive coordinator and a head coach in the NFL. Mac Jones has Mike Gesicki, who I believe when you add him to Hunter Henry, you now have two guys in between the numbers that can make plays. We've seen him like to stretch with the four verticals. What will they do in the run game? I still don't believe they made it easy on Mac Jones. What did Tua Tagovailoa get when we were trying to figure out if he was good enough? Mm. A Tyreek Hill, right? What did Stephon Diggs, what did Stephon Diggs do for Josh Allen when he went to Buffalo, made us sure that he could play? What did we figure out with Jalen Hurts? That, if I got Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown to throw it to, I can actually complete footballs down the field. So if you're the New England Patriots, where did you make the easy throw for Mac Jones? Oh. Where did you take some of the things off of his plate? And I feel like that's where they failed it.
So I just feel better knowing that Bill O'Brien is the coordinator. Honestly, that's it. That's it. Like, once that move was made, I'm like, okay.
Tell me that.
But here's the thing.
Okay, what?
The question of have the Patriots done enough to do what? We really, like Tim said, Tim made a great point. They've done enough to get back to zero, like the starting point of where Mac was in his rookie year. Like, that Mac is the Mac I want to see. This roster is better than what he had last year. But the question of Mac is not only dealing with trying to get back to what he was and this offense getting back to what it was, but now doing that is not enough in the AFC East. Forget about the AFC, period. The AFC East, the Patriots are a non-factor right now in their own division, but they are better off than they were last year. So it is a modicum of progression, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it is it is trending up because you make the adjustment to the play caller. You try to go out and get him some pieces that will allow him to push the football down the field. If Kayshawn Boutte can be what he was his first 2 years at LSU, I'm not sure that he can. You add an explosive weapon there. We know what Juju Smith-Schuster is as a slot receiver, and this team is going to rely heavily on 12 personnel and their tight ends. But when you think of Mac Jones and where you drafted him 15th overall, and honestly, what you saw from him as a rookie, if he has a natural progression of success right now in his third year, you should be discussing whether or not Mac Jones will receive a deal after his third year or going into his fourth. And I don't believe that they'll be in that position. And Tim made the greatest point. The fans were calling for Bailey Zappe. That's a problem.
Well, it's been a long time since we have heard the Patriots discussed in this light. Suffice it to say, it's a fascinating offseason and season ahead for the Patriots, especially in that very loaded AFC. We are just getting started here on NFL Live. And just how soon do we need to see Bryce Young under center in Carolina? Someone here says the time is now for the Panthers to make the move. Plus, the NBA draft lottery is tonight. But what a starting five of NFL players look like on the court? Our guy, RC, the C in this case counts for court, has the answers next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's a big night for the NBA on ESPN, leading into the Western Conference Finals Game 1. NBA countdown tips off at 7 Eastern, followed by the 2023 NBA Draft Lottery. This is about as big as it gets for the lottery. Victor Wembanyama is likely going to go number one overall. We're going to find out who gets that first pick with the rights to draft the 7'4" French prodigy. And last night, Micah Parsons tweeted some photos of him getting up some shots in the offseason. That got us thinking, with the lottery tonight, who would be the first overall pick from the NFL if we were building a basketball team? So we gave RC the whole day to think about it. RC, you get to do your starting five. Let's begin at point guard. Who are you taking?
Well, I mean, obviously, if we're going to talk point guard, we have to go with Joe Burrow. If I'm a basketball team, I want my championship window to be his entire career. We're talking about a guy that can distribute. He can finish at the goal with his left hand. We saw the three-point shooting when he got to the college football playoff, and we all know that he's going to have excellent vision and be able to see the court everywhere. Joe Burrow wasn't just a guy that stood out there and shot the three like J.J. Redick. He created his own shot more like Steph Curry. And that shooting guard, I'm going to go with Randy Moss. I just watched something on Jason Williams on White Chocolate, who was Randy Moss's high school point guard. And all Randy did was get buckets. He was going to be the fastest guy on the court. He was going to jump higher than everybody. We all knew that he had a great wingspan. And was anybody on the court going to get to the bucket and get more cash money than Randy Moss? We already know it's straight cash, homie. And listen, I'm going to go to the small forward. At the small forward, I'm going Davante Adams. Knows that Tay Adams, he didn't even really like football like that. He's always been a hooper. We see when he gets to the end zone, he used to be the guy to go between the legs and over the field goal post. This is what this man does. He's playing football as his second gig because he didn't get to 6'4". And he knew that the Raiders was going to give him $140 million, baby. Davante Adams has to be in your starting five.
Okay.
And when we get to the power forward, I think this is pretty easy, right? We're going to go Julius Peppers.
Yes.
Right? And the reason we're going to go Julius Peppers is because he's one of the few dudes that actually played in the NCAA tournament. And now, I get it. We've had other guys play at other schools and then go to the NBA. How many of those dudes played at UNC Field? I'm not talking about UNC fresh off of the hill, UNC A&T. I'm talking about the University of North Carolina, where the ceiling is the freaking roof. And at center, I'm going with Myles Garrett. Why? Because he's a freakazoid. Why? Because Myles Garrett can jump on like 17 boxes if he wants to. Why? Because Myles Garrett's shoulders are as big as Phil Yates' house, and Phil Yates comes from money. And if you know Phil, he ain't buying no small house to put all those suits in. And Myles Garrett is just an absolute freak of nature that no one would want to see on the post. He will not be like Joel Embiid. He will catch the ball on the box. And just in case I need a sixth man, I will go with Patrick Mahomes.
This guy right here.
You know why? And I see Kendrick Perkins, and let me tell you why. Because Patrick Mahomes is coming off of the bench like Vinny the Microwave Johnson. He may pass on the field, but he is not passing on the court. We are shooting threes. We are getting to the bucket. And all we do is score. I'm asking him to get off the bench like Jamal Crawford. We coming in that thing six man like Lemon Pepper Lou Real. Will, when Patrick Mahomes gets in the game, it's the score. And I don't care that Kendrick got the Lakers right that they was going to win. I don't care that he poured honey all on Dylan Brooks. He in NFL Live World now, Field. He know what's happening.
Right.
He see this team.
Yeah, and RC, by the way, you caught wind of the surprise before we could reveal it. But that is, as you see on your screen, not just anybody, but NBA champion. And, of course, NBA Today superstar Kendrick Perkins. And, Perk, you saw the starting five, plus Patrick Mahomes is the sixth man. What do you make of RC's lineup?
You know I love RC so much. You know we from the country. He's from Louisiana. I'm from Beaumont, Texas. It's basically the same damn thing. And I will say this. God bless his heart. He don't know no better, baby. And let me say why. Let me tell you why. First of all, I didn't know Joe Burrow had worked like that. And I also didn't know Patrick Mahomes had worked like that. I knew about Julius Peppers and Randy Moss. But, RC, this is where I'm disappointed in you, okay? Our brother, our guy, Baton Rouge finest, a Houston Hoops legend, Marcus Swaggoo Spears. And you know the type of work he had on that court, and you left him off your starting five with the mid-range jumper, the physicality in the paint, the big hand, one-hand dunks. Swaggoo, your LSU brother, your brother, period.
I'm wrong.
You left him off the list,
man. I'm wrong.
And look, you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? That list was actually great. But at some point, you had to say, I got to be biased. I got to be biased and put my boy Swaggoo in there. Hey, listen.
I was wrong, Perk.
How many crawfish balls y'all done been to together? How many?
Hey, Phil, you know what's so funny, though? He's talking about being biased. Marcus could really hoop, though, bro.
Marcus was extremely skilled.
You're right, Big Perk. That's a major oversight by your boy, man. He would definitely make my start five very much so higher caliber.
Okay, I mean, he was a Gatorade High School player, Gatorade Player of the Year in a state. So Marcus does have some serious game. Always great to have Perk with us here on NFL Live. That might have been his debut. Go check out Perk's book if you haven't already, and watch the 2023 NBA Draft Lottery on ESPN, 8 p.m. Eastern time. We're calling it the Victor Sweepstakes. All right, so Davante Adams, traded to the Raiders last offseason, all seemed good. But is there a bit of trouble in Paradise right now? Could the two sides not be seen eye to eye? More to come on NFL Live.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Za'Darius Smith to Cleveland trade became official today. He arrived with the dog pound earlier today, and he got us thinking about some of the defensive players that are still on the market. One of those includes Ndamukong Suh, who apparently is not in any rush to sign with the team. I love this quote. I have no desire to be in a training camp. I will come in and watch and look and give some advice, but when week one happens, I'll be ready. Amen. Kimberly, take us through some other players that are around the league that remain unsigned, starting with Zeke Elliott.
Yeah, so Zeke, he actually is like Ndamukong Suh. He is prepared to take his time, not as much time, though, as Ndamukong. Listen, I've made calls all morning. Two things are clear. Zeke wants to win, and he wants to be patient. He knows this is a big decision. However, talking to GMs this morning as well, the market that Zeke wants just may not be there. They think he can be productive, but that he's lost a step. All right, now to another running back, Saquon Barkley. Clearly, Saquon wants to be paid what he's worth, but his agent, Kim Mialy, shut down the rumor that Saquon, you know, turned down a $14 million deal from the Giants. Listen, the Giants clearly want Saquon. Both sides want to be together, but it remains to be seen if both sides can come to an agreement on a multi-year deal. Right now, he's on the tag. So we'll see if something happens there. I don't know.
Hopefully something does get done, as obviously he was tremendous last year. In other Giants news, they did get something done last night as they signed their third-round receiver, Jalin Hyatt, hopefully giving some help to Daniel Jones and the offense. And he should be a vertical element in this offense. He's not the only pass catcher that the Giants have added this offseason. In addition to the former Tennessee Vol, they also traded for Darren Waller. They signed Paris Campbell and also Jamison Crowder, so a lot of slot options available for the Giants. Perhaps no addition more important, though, of course, than Darren Waller, motivated after that trade. What do you think that Daniel Jones needs to prove this year to you, Kim?
He needs to prove that he's better than just the 15 touchdowns. Look, he did play better last year, but let's be honest, the Giants, this new regime wasn't sure about Daniel Jones. They didn't pick up the option. And they needed to see him with Brian Daboll. He's got better weapons now. But here's what he also is contending with. Aaron Rodgers is now with the Jets. And the top teams in the NFC are literally in his division. You have the Eagles and you have the Cowboys. So Daniel Jones, while he was improved last year, when you talk to defensive coordinators and defensive players last year about the Giants, they talked about stopping Saquon, not stopping Daniel Jones. So that is what he also has to prove to his teammates, to his coaches, but also the rest of the league, that you can put a game on his back and he can carve up defenses with his arms, not just his legs.
Yeah, he needs to develop as a passer. I mean, we have the stats up there. I mean, he threw for 3,200 yards this year. I mean, it's a passing league where guys will throw for 5,000 yards. You mentioned the 15 touchdowns. Like, the reality is, in their 9 wins, he threw for 173 yards per game. Wow. Again, this is a passing league. Mm-hmm. He threw for over 230 yards in a game only twice all season, once against the Lions and once against the Vikings in the regular season. So when you look at him and the way the league is constructed as a passing league, he has not shown the development that other young quarterbacks have shown. Look, if you look at Justin Fields, year one to year two, you're like, listen, even though he's not a perfect passer, I see the growth. It's obvious. In some ways, you almost have to be blind not to see it. Like, I don't believe that evidence is there. Now, have they gotten better players around him? Yes, they have. But I think they also need to put more on him in the passing game. I think they have to do that. He's a tremendous athlete. The running's not going to go away. Kimberly's right about Saquon and the influence and impact that he had on that offense. If they can keep him, you know, that won't change for a while until he gets older. But Daniel Jones does have to improve as a passer, and I don't know that we've seen enough evidence of it yet.
Yeah, and I think the other big thing that Brian Daboll was charged with was finding a way for Daniel Jones to stop turning the football over. And I think he worked on that in not hurting his team and trying to allow every possession to end in a kick. And we saw what he could do with his legs. You saw him be able to lead a team against the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs that wasn't very good defensively, but that next week against the Philadelphia Eagles, where there was pressure, where there was coverage on the outside, Daniel Jones didn't even seem to be a competent passer. And just getting 15 touchdowns and throwing for 3,200 yards will not be enough this year. You add Darren Waller, you get Jalen Hyatt so you can have a presence downfield. You hope to have Saquon Barkley in the backfield. If he doesn't take that next step and allow this passing game to grow, especially playing in the NFC East, it will be apparent that Daniel Jones isn't the guy for this team going forward. And they didn't lock themselves into a contract that means he has to be.
You know, Tim, last year was a successful season for the Giants, and I would argue in some ways, Daniel Jones, he was rewarded with that big contract. But taking it a step further this year, how do you think success will be defined for Daniel Jones as a player?
Well, I think there needs to be more production in the passing game, plain and simple. I think success would be, look, they match their win total or improve on it. You know, the division is going to be tough. So I think you need to match your win total and improve on it. And then I think that his passing numbers, when you stack them up to his contemporaries, have to be comparable. Mm. It has to look similar. Like, I think you need to be throwing around 30 touchdowns. And to Ryan's Clark, you do need to continue to protect the football. Like, we can't be in a league where, you know, guys are throwing 50 touchdowns a year and a starting quarterback for the New York Giants is throwing 15 in a season.
Straight
like,
up,
you just can't,
man.
Like, You're not competing in the same way. You're just not.
Yeah, certainly is a different way of winning in the NFL. They got the job done last year, but it does feel like their margin for error was rather thin. I wonder how sustainable it is to continue to play offensive football like that year over year. Hey, coming up, the Raiders played a lot of offense last year, in large part because of Davante Adams. But does he agree with some of the moves they have made this offseason? We'll dive into the latest remarks from the star receiver.
Hey, it's it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Top-ranked boxing comes your way Saturday night as undisputed lightweight champ Devin Haney squares off against the former unified champ Vasily Lomachenko. The main card starts at 10 Eastern on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Will Levis hasn't been a Titan for even a full month, but the rookie quarterback does have a familiarity with his head coach Mike Vrabel. That stems from Levis growing up as a Patriots fan. He was born in Massachusetts. He grew up in Connecticut. Take a listen.
We used to live up in North Attleboro, Massachusetts, moved till I was seven. So pretty much since I could walk for those few years, I was going to Patriots training camp every year, watching those Patriots teams, watching Coach Vrabel and them practice, and had a little signed football from him, actually. So I told him that story. It's kind
of
funny.
Isn't that nice of me? Must have caught me on a good day, Will. That's what I told him. Make me feel old? No. I mean, I guess just having kids that are 22 and 21 and a body that feels like crap probably makes me feel old.
Don't worry, Vrab, you look great. But Tim, obviously, Will Levis, a much-discussed draft pick. You also happen to live in the Nashville area. So what has to happen for Will Levis to start a game this year for Tennessee?
Yeah, I think Ryan Tannehill would either have to be injured or just play so poorly that they were forced to make a move. I mean, I think that's really, the situation the Titans are in. Look, Ryan Tannehill, was coming off of an injury. I think they obviously signed him to an extension a few years back and had high hopes for him to play well. Now, they drafted a quarterback last year in the third round, drafted a quarterback this year in the second round, but it is his job to lose. And so, I think that Ryan Tannehill has an opportunity to not let it go, which by playing well, I think would put the Titans in a really unique spot where they'd be more likely to extend him than cut him. And then I think for Will Levis, you just don't know if you're going to get your opportunity. But listen, I think the gauntlet of their schedule early in the season is going to say a lot about when or if at all we'll end up seeing Will Levis.
Yeah, they're one of those interesting teams. It's hard to pinpoint exactly where they are. I don't think they're a top team in the AFC. I don't think they're necessarily at the bottom of the NFL as well, kind of floating in the middle. Let's go to Las Vegas, and in a fascinating Ringer profile on the Ringer, Raiders wide receiver Devontae Adams had a lot to say. He talked about how last year proved that he was not just a wide receiver that was dependent upon the quarterback he was playing with. He had a monster season, but he also had some remarks about the front office and the team's vision. Here's what he said, quote, "The front office thinks this is the best bet for us right now to put us in a position to be urgent. We don't see eye to eye in what we think is best for us right now. I'm going to have to buy into this and try to be as optimistic as possible. It's not what I expected to happen, but it's something that's the reality now." All right, so a lot to unpack there. RC, wow. I'll start there. I mean, this is one of those quotes that, this could generate a lot of conversation and headlines throughout the next handful of days here during a quiet part of the NFL calendar. What did you make of that quote from Devontae Adams?
I think we all have to remember that Devontae Adams chose the Las Vegas Raiders in part because of his friend Derek Carr, who was the quarterback at the time, and that relationship that they both shared going back to college at Fresno State. And when we're being truthful, when he left, many thought that Devontae Adams would be encouraging his team to go out and get Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers chose the Jets. That was where Aaron Rodgers wanted to be. So they have now settled with Jimmy Garoppolo. There were some draft picks, or there were some guys in the draft that could have been incumbent rookies that had an opportunity to start at quarterback that Davante Adams may have felt have been more talented than Jimmy Garoppolo. I think you have to ask yourself this question. Do we believe that Jimmy Garoppolo is more talented than Derek Carr? I believe, at least to me, he is not. He doesn't have the arm strength. He doesn't have the mobility, and he doesn't have the availability. And we all already know that he doesn't have the relationship with Davante Adams that Derek Carr did. Davante Adams has accomplished anything and everything you can do individually from the position. What he doesn't have is a championship. And as we continue to talk and as we continue to become closer, I know that winning a championship is what's left for him. Winning a championship is what he's playing for. And I don't believe he thinks that Jimmy Garoppolo, and this is not Devontae talking, this is me talking, I don't think he believes that Jimmy Garoppolo gives him the best chance to do that right now.
Like, RC, it's like when you say, okay, who all's going to be there, right, before you go to the function and you show up.
That means I don't want to go. And I don't want to go.
And none of the people that you were told were going to be there are there. And now it's a whole bunch of different people. And you're like, why am I here? Like, that's what it feels like. And that's why I feel like the quote is so troubling, because this was supposed to work for Devontae. Like, all the pieces were in place, that roster, the QB, the friendship, the money, all that. And now a year later, and it's Jimmy Garoppolo. And now Devontae's not the one saying anything specifically about Jimmy Garoppolo, but we can all read between the lines. The fact that we can say that Jimmy is a clear upgrade over Derek Carr, if you're Devontae looking at this situation and all you want to do is win, and you see the rest of the division is still there, Patrick Mahomes is still there, the Broncos hopefully are improved, you're looking around like, what are we doing? Are we really trying to win? And he's somebody who says the QB doesn't matter, I'm that dude, but the QB is the one throwing him the ball.
Kimberly, I get it. Like, they told me that Marcus was going to be on NFL Live today, and I see Ryan. I'm like, hey, it's what it is, okay? We'll see eye to
eye. You got to go to work.
I guess I'm just going to go to work. I'm going to do the best I can. Here I am. This is what I'm going to do. Look, wow. In all seriousness, I do think what part of what's going to happen, like the relationship of this. Like, we heard Devontae talk quite a bit about his relationship with Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers said a lot about, look, he's the best player I've ever played with. And Ryan documented it, all the data points about, like, look, why Las Vegas made sense for Devontae. That was the landing spot with somebody he trusted, he wanted to play with. Like, that matters. And now all of a sudden, you're like, wait a second. I'm here with neither of the guys that I wanted to play with. Mm.
I think the harder part of it is this, though. And Kimberly's talking about the party. Most of the time, if I ask you who's going to be there, I'm already planning on not going.
Right.
I'm just waiting for you to be like, hey, Tim's going to be here. And I'll be like, I'm cool. I ain't going to make it. But when you're Davante Adams and you understand that, yes, you can find ways to compile stats, you can find ways to have success with anyone playing the quarterback position, that doesn't mean that that guy's the right quarterback to lead your team. It doesn't mean that that guy's the right guy to have your locker room where you want it to be, or to be able to produce in the clutch moments on Sundays and Mondays and Thursday. And when you think about Jimmy Garoppolo throughout his career, the biggest thing about him is he just hasn't been available. Now, we saw Jarrett Stidham play toward the end of last season, and he found some success, especially with Davante Adams. But is he the guy that we believe can help them compete against the Patrick Mahomes, compete against the Justin Herberts, and that's just in their division? And if Russell Wilson ever finds old Russell Wilson, him as well in Denver, I just think that Davante Adams understands that this isn't a team constructed right now to win a championship. And as he is getting older, as he is getting more experienced, he also starts to be aware that his football mortality is becoming more and more of a reality.
And as you get older, you become more vocal about the frustration, because you realize you do not have time to fool around. You need to, the window is closing, and Devontae understands that. Yeah. And the fact that the Raiders, you don't know where to place them. You have no idea what this team is going to be with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, if his window is closing, we need Joe Burrow. Because Joe Burrow window ain't never closed.
Never closes, RC. But I don't think it should be
it's
lost.
It's always open.
It's always open. I don't think it should be lost in this conversation that last year when the Raiders traded the first, second-round pick for Davante Adams, they also signed Chandler Jones to big money in free agency. They committed an extension to both Derek Carr and Max Crosby, a spending spree to go all in last year was followed by an offseason this year in which the front office talked about how it was a transition phase and how we need to kind of restock the youth pipeline here in Las Vegas. It's a very different message in the span of just 1 year. And if you're a guy at Devontae's age with his stature, you're probably not thrilled about the idea of taking a step backwards to eventually take a step forwards, especially when you look around the division and you see Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. What guarantee is there to ever move forward in that division over the next few years? A lot to unpack. I'm sure we'll talk about it a whole lot more. Devontae Adams, a great profile, by the way, to read on The Ringer right now. Hey, coming up here on NFL Live, as rookies adjust to life in the NFL, the number one overall pick will be finding his way already in Carolina.
I'm seeing how things operate, learning so much from the coaches. So, you know, for me, I want to do everything that they ask of me. And, you know, really, I want to focus on them. I want my signature to be executing the play, whatever the coaches call.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Mel Kiper Jr., time to update your 2041 NFL mock draft, because here is the daughter of longtime NFL running back, currently a free agent, Mark Ingram. She's 6 years old, playing against boys who are eight and younger. And how about the moves, RC, looking like a Barry Sanders out there?
First off, they ran the annexation of Puerto Rico. She had a cutback, and when she cut field and reversed it, we saw her hit the Jets. The only thing I would say is, Mark Ingram, as a father, we have to get your daughter better ball security. Mm. We cannot fumble the bag. Yeah. We have a future star. If we have ball security, the sky's the limit right here.
Ball security is job security. None of that bread loaf, right? That's well done right there by Mark Ingram's daughter. She has a very, very bright future. The Panthers conducted their rookie minicamp this past weekend, meaning the first work for first overall pick Bryce Young. Take a listen to Young speaking to reporters about the week.
I'm embracing the system, learning it, and, you know, I think what's the signature for me is whatever the, you know, whatever the coaches draw up. It's that learning process of filling out how routes are supposed to be, how you know, how things are supposed to be read, and, you know, I'm watching film, seeing how things operate, learning so much from the coaches. So, you know, for me, I want to do everything that they ask of me, and, you know, really, I want to focus on them. I want my signature to be executing the play, whatever the coaches call.
Bryce will get a lot of reps, you know, as we've said, you know, hey, when he's ready, when it's best for the team, you know, that's, you know, when we'll look to make a transition. But right now, you know, when we come back out Monday, Andy will be taking reps with the ones. Bryce will be with the twos. But Bryce is going to get a lot of reps, likely even get a few more than Andy, you know, just as the new guy. So we'll focus on getting Bryce as the younger player, you know, focusing on getting him as many reps as we can.
All right, RC, so for now, Andy Dalton will run with the ones, although Bryce Young will get plenty of reps, as Frank Reich just said. Mm-hmm. Do you think we should see Bryce Young in week one?
Heck yeah. If we don't see Bryce Young in week one, then I think it's an organizational failure. I believe that everything should point to Bryce Young being the starting quarterback of the Carolina Panthers when this year opens. Now, I think you have to make him earn that. He should start with the twos. He should have to learn from the veteran in Andy Dalton. But if Bryce Young is everything that I believe him to be, especially from watching him at 2 years at Alabama, I believe he can pick up everything mentally. And I also believe that he can make all the throws that would be required of him to run this offense, especially early on in the season when you can add what he can do with his legs and creating second play opportunities.
Now, let me just decode this a little bit, too. Hey, he's going to go with the twos, But just so we're clear, he's going to get more reps than the guys that's going with the ones. Like, Freck is basically saying, hey, RC, I agree with you, man. Like, we drafted him first overall because he's a heck of a football player. He's played a lot of football. He's smart. We think he's ready, and we're going to get him ready. So even though we're going to make him earn the job and he's going to start with the twos and all of that,
go take
he's
some
getting
marks.
More reps than the starter. I mean, let's be real. So, look, and I think that's the right thing. Like, I've kind of banged this drum for a while now. It's easier to get better as a quarterback playing the position than watching somebody else play it. That's just the reality of it, which is why you give a guy more reps in practice and which is why you play him as soon as you can play him. And I think he's got a good support system around him of guys that know what he's comfortable with and when he's ready to play. And that's why I think we'll see him at the start of the season.
So I don't think that just because you are a first round quarterback that you should start, right? Mm. That's my personal belief, because I think it's specific to the particular player. But when you talk to people in the pre-draft process about Bryce Young, the word that always came up was magic. That should not be on the bench. He's different. Mm. He's special. Despite the size, and we talk so much about his height and all that and his weight and all, the kid is different. And that's why I think in this situation with this staff, we said with C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, whoever goes to Carolina, that quarterback will be in the best position of any of the young quarterbacks. Bryce is in a perfect spot to learn from Josh McCown, Frank Wright, Thomas Brown, all that. It makes too much sense.
By the way, it's becoming kind of a time-honored tradition. Andy Dalton is the team's starter in May, and then by the time the season actually begins, the younger quarterback actually steps up as the starting quarterback. We got time for one more thing before we say goodbye, and Josh Allen took BP at the Blue Jays game yesterday. He hit four home runs, and he was outdone by his backup, Matt Barkley, who drilled five. Tim, you ever have any more you have more home runs back in the day than Eli Manning?
Well, do we know if Matt Barkley got more reps in the batting cage than Josh Allen?
It's a good point, Tim. It's a good point. We'll find out tomorrow.
I mean, do we know?
NFL Live. Watch the NBA draft lottery tonight.
But you get more reps.